going to preach tonight, with the Lord being our helper, on some very familiar scripture tonight that I think that most of us will know if you know your Bible tonight. But I want to deal with King David. Now, I want to preach tonight having a thought on setting some things in motion. Now, there's some things that we can set in motion in our life that's going to, we could say that is going to reap repercussions on down the road. It may be good things that come out of it, but it may be bad things also. And so we find in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 12, and the Bible says, now, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children, and did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said unto Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. And thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house, and thy master's wives unto thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if it had been too little, I would have moreover, I have given thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away this sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you again tonight. We thank you and that for this wonderful day that you've given us and the mercy that you've showed us. And Lord, as we get ready to preach now, we need unction and that from the Holy One. I pray that you would just help us, Lord, while we might preach. I pray you'd give us clarity of mind and thought tonight. Lord, I believe this to be the message for the hour. And Lord, you know who is under the sound of our voice tonight that might hear us, not only in these vehicles, but Lord, throughout this community. Lord, I pray that it might ring out tonight. And those that are in need and out of a Savior, I pray that they might come to you. Lord, maybe somebody's cold and indifferent. I pray they might get right with you tonight. Lord, I pray they'd come to you. We thank you for everyone that's here tonight. Bless this time. Thank you for that wonder-working power tonight. It's only in your blood. Now touch us and help us, and we'll give you the glory for it all. And save that sinner that's near his tail. For these things in Jesus' name, I would ask and pray. Amen. And amen. I ask us tonight, have you ever put anything into motion? I think tonight you'd have to say, yeah, you got here tonight. And that by putting a vehicle into motion and driving it this way. But there's been times, no doubt, that we have put some things in motion that we wish that we hadn't had. You know, it's like in David's life right here. He commits a sin, and we're going to deal with that here in just a minute. He commits two sins in this passage of Scripture, but he didn't really realize what he was setting into motion when he done it. Let me say tonight that it's not always bad things that we set into motion tonight. I thought about that little lad over there that offered the five loaves and the two fishes. He probably didn't realize what he was setting into motion when he offered them to the Lord. But when he offered them to God, the Lord Jesus Christ took them and blessed them and fed 5,000 men plus the women and the children. Let me say tonight, you never know what will happen if you'll just witness the one person. You'll never know how that a family, a whole family might be changed because daddy gets saved or because mama gets saved. Let me ask you tonight, I ask you, does anybody know, and you can flash your lights or raise your hand or wave, how many knows who Billy Graham is tonight? I think most people knows who Evangelist Billy Graham was. Tonight, let me ask you, do you know who Mordecai Ham is tonight? If I ask you, do you know who Mordecai Ham is? Most people don't know. Mordecai Ham is the man that led Billy Graham and that to the Lord. Tonight, it just takes, you never know what's going to happen when God gets in the arrangements. Can I say tonight that sometimes we set good things and that into motion? And I would say we need to do that. You know, there's another terminology for this tonight, and it's sowing and reaping. But there's times that we set some things in the motion that we don't realize what's taking place. But before it's over with, things have done got set in motion. And unless God intervenes, then some things is going to take place and going to happen. Now, this is happening in David's life right here. You need to understand when Nathan come to talk to David, he began to tell him a little story over here. And he began to tell him a story about a poor man and a rich man and a traveling man. You ever thought about how that those men fit into the story of David right here in chapter 11? I'll read it in a minute. But we know that the poor man is Uriah, which had Bathsheba for his wife. And we know that the rich man is David. But you ever thought about who the traveling man is? And I believe that traveling man is David's flesh when it riled up on him and wanted him to do what he wanted to do. Can I tell you tonight, friend, that a lot of times if we're not careful, our flesh will rire up on us. I mean, listen, David was a man after God's own heart. As we'll see through this passage of Scripture, you'll find out that David followed the Lord wholly. But the Bible never let David forget. Never let us forget what David done over there in the very fact that he committed adultery with Bathsheba and killed Uriah. God always wanted us to know that. Listen, in this right here, in chapter 11, David set some things in motion that he didn't realize. Hey, can I tell you, when we start sinning, when we begin and that to sin against God, maybe just a little here, a little there, let some things slip here, let some things slip there. Listen, we begin to set some things in motion, friend, that sometimes we don't realize what's taking place. Now, take your Bible and look in 2 Samuel chapter 11, and the Bible says it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings went forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Now let me say, right here is where David should have stopped. Right here is where David should have ended his inquiry. David should have stopped where he was headed. But then in verse 4, the Bible said, "And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him and lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, 'I am with child.'" Let me say this real quick tonight. I'm going to deal with it here in just a minute. You never can hide your sin. It always shows up eventually, and it shows up for every one of us. "And David sent Joab to Joab, saying, 'Send me Uriah the Hittite.' And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down unto his house, David said unto Uriah, camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down unto thine house? And Uriah said to David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. Boy, I'm telling you, you're going to find out here in just a little bit that Uriah was a man of great character and a man that was valiant. As a matter of fact, you're going to find out, I believe it is, over in the book of 2 Kings, one of the books of Kings, I'll get there in a minute, that Uriah was one of David's valiant men. And David said to Uriah in verse 12, tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and tomorrow. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at evening he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his lord, but went not down to his house. As you've heard me say more than once, Uriah had more character about him when he was drunk than David did at this time in his life. And him being sober, Uriah had character about him. Now, if you read the rest of the story right here, you'll find that David sent a letter, and that was Uriah, and that to Joab, and told Joab to set Uriah in a hot spot in the battle, and said, make sure that Uriah dies. Now, you need to remember all this. David has took Uriah's wife in adultery. Now listen, I don't understand why God allowed multiple wives in the Old Testament. I don't understand all that. I'm not even going to pretend to go down that road tonight. But I'm going to tell you tonight, she belonged to Uriah. That was Uriah's wife. The Bible over and over tells us that. And so I'm going to tell you, he committed a sin and that of adultery. Now, can I say, number one tonight, I believe that David, in setting things in motion, I thought he would never get caught. Can I tell you tonight, and I know that I'm probably preaching to the choir and preaching to folk tonight that love God, but you know, David was a man after God's own heart, and God chose David. David was the Lord's choice to be king over Israel. And tonight, just because that we serve God now does not mean that we're not capable in that of sinning and getting away from God and committing sin and becoming wrong with God and becoming cold on God. Tonight, listen to me now, church. You need to understand that every one of us in our flesh is capable of the same thing that King David has committed. I want you to look right here. The Bible tells us that he done what? He inquires after Bathsheba. No big deal, you might say. The Bible says that he done what after he was at home when kings went out the battle. Now, if you've heard me ask this question many times, why was David at home when kings were going forth to battle? And the Bible says that it came to pass in evening time that David arose from off his bed. Why was he in the bed at evening time? Seems like he might have got a little lazy. I don't know. Just something to think about. And he goes out, and I'm not going to say that Bathsheba should have been washing on the top of her house, but nonetheless, David saw her, and he inquired after her in verse 3, and they said, is this not Bathsheba, Uriah's wife? She was somebody else's wife. And listen, right there, as I said when I read this, David should have stopped his inquiry. David, I should have just stopped where he was headed. But in verse 4, he goes and gets her. And the Bible says that he lay with her. And the woman conceived and sent and told David, I'm with child. So now he has seen her. He has coveted and lusted after her. And that lust has turned into a physical desire and into a physical action that they committed in that adultery. And not only have they committed adultery, but she's now with child. In 1 Chronicles chapter 11, here's where I was trying to get to a few minutes ago. It tells us that Uriah was one of David's valiant men. In other words, he was a man that knew how to battle. He was a man that knew how to fight.
And he loved the king. I mean, listen, what did he tell David down through here? He said, look, the ark and Israel and Judah, they're all abiding in tents of my Lord Joab. And the servants of my Lord are encamped in open fields. And he says, you want me to go to my house to eat, drink, lie with my wife? He said, as thou livest and as thy soul livest, I'll not do those things. David, I don't know how he felt, but he should have felt about that tall. I mean, I believe that Uriah not only loved God, but he loved Israel, and he loved his king. And he said, David, I'm not going to go do these things. He said, I'm going to stay right here. And I believe that David, he worked out a plan in his own mind how he could make all this come about, and nobody would never know anything. And so even when the second night they tried to send Uriah down there to his wife, Uriah, and that just laid up there at David's house with his servants. And so David said, well, the only other option I've got now is to have Uriah killed. So he sends that letter to Joab and says, put him in the battle and withdraw yourself. If you read the rest of the story, you know that that's what's happened. Now let me say this, there might have been many knew about the relationship between David and Bathsheba. But you need to keep in your mind tonight that there was probably only three that knew about the murder of Uriah. And that was David and Joab and the Lord. Now can I say tonight that you may think that you're never going to get caught in your sin. Listen, if there's young people listening to me tonight, you need to understand something. I hope that older people understand and that we don't forget tonight that the Bible tells us that. But he said, be sure in Numbers chapter 32, he said, be sure that your sin will find you out. It always does. You can't escape and that sin. You put it into motion when you commit it. And David, he has had Uriah, he's committed adultery with Bathsheba, and now he has killed Uriah so that he can take her. I want you to take your Bible tonight and go over the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 21. Talking about your sin, finding you out tonight. 1 Kings chapter 21, you find a man by the name of King Ahab. And you find another man by the name of Naboth. And what's going on right here in 1 Kings is Naboth's got a vineyard that King Ahab wants. And he won't sell that vineyard. And he won't let him have that vineyard. And so Jezebel, she works up, Ahab's wife, Jezebel works up an idea and says, I'll tell you what we'll do. Listen, we'll set him up and we'll have people come in and praise him. And when they come in to praise him, we'll have some men come in and say he blasphemed God and blasphemed the king, and we'll have him stoned. And that's what happened. So, you know what happened after Naboth dies? They have all that happen. Naboth dies. And in verse 15 of chapter 21, and it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of thy vineyard, of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive but dead. You know why Naboth wouldn't give him his vineyard? Because he said, how can I sell my father's inheritance? He said, how can I sell out what's been given to me? I'm afraid tonight there's a lot of folks selling out tonight. Selling out, just selling out for sin, selling out for something easier. Just selling out tonight. And it came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go to the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, to take possession of it. Now watch this right here in verse 17. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whether he has gone down to possess it. See, God knew where everybody was, didn't he? Can I tell you that? God knows where you're at. God knows where you're at physically. God knows where you're at spiritually tonight. And now it shall speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood. even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Let me say tonight that your sin, your disobedience against God, if you want to continue in it and stay in it, it's going to find you out. But friend, then number two, it's going to create you some problems. You're going to see that number two, the Bible said right here with David that the sword showed up. We go back to what the text verse said, what Nathan said over here. He said in verse 10, he said, now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house. You know, David had had a good life up until this point. David loved God. He served God. Can I tell you what happened? One of the things that happened with David is he was being idle, wasn't he? He was over there when he was in his house. When kings went forth to battle, he was being idle. He should have been out to battle, but instead he found himself in a place. You know what? What's the old saying? Idle hands are the devil's workshop. Idle minds are the devil's playhouse. And listen, there's a lot of truth to that tonight. You need to stay busy for the Lord tonight. But Nathan came, and he tells him that little story. And David said, that man shall surely... Boy, David got mad. And David got self-righteous and indignation. And boy, he said, that man will surely die. He said, before he dies, he'll restore fourfold. And Nathan looked at him and he said, thou art the man. And boy, David knew then he was found out, didn't he? He knew then for sure he was found out. If I'm looking at these bees down here, don't think nothing about it, all right? But listen, you know what he said? The sword will never depart. So what happens? What happens? Now, David gets forgiven. I'm going to deal with that here in a minute. But you know what Nathan tells him? He said, how be it? Because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. So him and Bathsheba loses that baby. He lays out there for 7 days and 7 nights on the ground. He don't eat. He don't change his clothes. He don't do nothing. He begins to fast and pray and seek God. And God keeps His word, and that baby dies. You read the next chapter, and you'll find out that Ammon, one of his sons, rapes Tamar, which is another one of his daughters. And you'll find that in rage and all that, that Absalom, another one of David's sons, kills Ammon for what he done. I mean, this is more than Hollywood could have ever come up with. I mean, listen, you're talking about trouble creeping in on a family. Listen, it has crept in. And when Absalom kills Ammon down there, he has all his brothers do that. And word comes to David that all his sons have been killed by Absalom. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? Man, David just goes to pieces. It wasn't true, but David didn't know that at the time. And David just falls to pieces. Read over here and you can see that. But they finally come to David and tell him, look, that's not true. Absalom has just killed Ammon for what he done to Tamar. The Bible said it came to pass while they're in the way that tidings came to David saying, Absalom had slain all the king's sons, and there is not one left. And the king arose and tore his garments and lay on the earth, and all his servants stood by with their clothes rent. David just falls apart. See, sadness has come in. Problems have come in. That sword has come in and began to devour his family and give him problem. A man who was after God's own heart, a man who loved God, a man who God touched and who God blessed and fought the battles for him and won the battles for him. And he went forward and forward and God anointed him king and that over Israel. And he let one sin slip in on him. And he set into something into motion that he couldn't slow down. Can I say tonight that just because we deal with that sin and get it took care of does not mean that God's always going to wipe out what's coming down the road. We set some things into motion and we can't get them stopped. And so David, after all this happens, Absalom runs and that from David. And he stays gone for a long time. And finally, Absalom comes back, and Joab kind of gets some things settled between him and David. And so Absalom begins to steal, and that the heart of the people. He stands out there at the gate of the city, and he says, "Oh, that I wish there was a man who was deputed and that to judge between the people." And he said, "If you just make me king, make me judge where I could judge between you, I could do that job." In other words, he's becoming a politician. Is what he was doing. And the Bible tells us that Absalom stole the heart of the people. And you know what happens? Not much longer than that. It wasn't just a little while later after Absalom had stole the heart of the people that Absalom sets up men to run before him and blow trumpets before him and to say Absalom is king. And he runs David off his throne. He separates David from his counselor, Ahithophel. Ahithophel, they said when he talked that it was like the oracles of God. I'm going somewhere with all this. David is run off the throne. Listen, he's out there, and that was just a few and that from his house, and they're running, and listen, he is barefoot, and he's got his head covered, and they don't have much to eat, and he's no longer in the palace, but he's in the wilderness. What brought all this on? Well, that sin with Bathsheba, and that murder, and that of Uriah, is what set all this into motion. Something got set into motion that David couldn't stop. Can I tell you tonight, you need to be careful what you let start get into motion. And even though we don't think it's that big of a deal, we don't know. The Bible said, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." You need to understand that tonight. Sometimes we think that a little sin won't matter, just a little sin won't hurt nothing, just a little bit. Hey, the Bible says it's the little foxes and that spoil the vine. It says that it's a little leaven. That leaveneth the whole lump. It's just a little bit. And that's what gets us in trouble. We think that, well, it really don't matter about who I'm friends with and who I'm running with. It does matter. It does matter. The Bible tells us over here that, what concord hath light with darkness. And, we have to be careful who we run with. That sword never departed out of David's house. He had problem after problem after problem with his children and with his family, with his enemies. But you know what David done? In all that, it cost him his joy. It cost him his joy in the Lord. You remember in Psalms chapter 51, you get over there and David is repenting of his sin. And the Bible says that he looked up and actually he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." David had lost his joy. You know, sin robs us of our joy. If you look in Psalms chapter 38 tonight, as David is talking to the Lord, and I believe it's because of his sin right here in chapter 38. He said, "O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There's no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin." David said, "I ain't got no rest." He said, "I ain't got no rest." He said, "I ain't got no soundness in my flesh because of my sin and because you're against me." Hey, listen, you want to get God against you, then turn from Him and sin and become unfaithful. Hey, listen, you can get Him against you tonight. Set into motion some things. Children of Israel, they done that. You go over to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 36. They had sinned on God. They had sinned against God. And they had misused and abused His prophets. And the Bible said that they done that till there was no remedy. In other words, they rejected God and rejected God and rejected God till there was no remedy. In other words, judgment was coming. And David just wanted his joy restored. Now, the great thing about it is, I believe that David got his joy. I believe that David did. And you know, that's the great thing about the Lord. If you're not right with Him, if I get not right with Him, we can get right with Him. And we can get our joy restored. We really can. We can do that. But you know what? There's some things that we're going to have to carry with us the rest of our life. There's going to be some things that we set into motion that we can't undo. Again, it goes back to sowing and reaping. We sow it, and I'm going to be honest with you, friend. It's going to come out. We got to reap it out. It's got to come. 1 Kings chapter 15. The Bible said, "Nevertheless, for David's sake did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem, because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite." The Lord don't let us forget that stuff. God wasn't going to let us forget what David done. God wasn't going to let David forget what David done. You know, that's why we carry scars sometimes, and we carry baggage around with us sometimes, is because of what we've done in the past. Now, I'm glad God forgives. I am, but you know, I believe He lets us have some scars. Listen, I've got some scars on my body right now. I've got one, I believe it's on this thumb right here, right in here. It comes from acting a fool. I mean, just acting a fool. I was doing something foolish and ended up cutting myself right up through here, and that scar is still there. And I can look at that and remember what happened right there, and don't do that again. And I think God wants us to remember that. This is what happened. And don't do that again. Sometimes we set some things into motion that we can't undo. I'm glad tonight that if you're saved, you set something into motion that you can't undo. You set salvation into motion, and God ain't never going to undo it. Ain't that a wonderful thought tonight, church? That if you're saved, you're still saved. If you're unsaved tonight, you can get saved. Because here's the thing. If you die lost in your sin, you've set something into motion that you can't undo. Born eternity in hell, an eternal lake of fire, you need to get saved from. And boy, I tell you, if you'll trust Jesus tonight, the one who loves you and died for you, He'll save you from your sin tonight if you'll come to Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You. We love You and we thank You for what You've done for us. Lord, I pray that each of us would take this message as a warning. Lord, I hope that folk under the sound of my voice is not in any bad shape tonight in their relationship with You. But Lord, if they are, I pray they'll get things right with You. Lord, I also pray that this will serve as a warning to those that are serving You and loving You and doing what You would have them to tonight. That Lord, that just as sure as David got out of Your will and got into sin and set things into motion, that Lord, that You wasn't going to stop. That Lord, that each of us could do that. And down the road, it could catch up with us. Even though we don't see it now, we've set it into motion. And Lord, I pray that this would be a warning to folk tonight. I want to tell you again that we love You and we thank You for all that You've done. Go with us and keep us. Lord, save somebody that's lost tonight. And Lord, thank You so much for these dear people coming. For these things in Jesus' name we do ask and do pray. Amen and amen.